السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. I am grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me this tawfiq to visit you here again. And it was a year ago that I was here, and alhamdulillah I had good memories of the time that we spent together last Muharram. I pray in this blessed night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do proper, inshallah, mourning for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and to help our community worldwide to understand and then share with the rest of the humanity the true message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the martyrs of Karbala. We have taken such a great responsibility on our shoulder to be representative, inshallah, and a spokesman and women for the mission of Imam Hussein. And this cannot be achieved easily. If you want to be speaking on behalf of someone, there must be some similarity. Your character must be not very much different from the character of the people that you are representing. Your knowledge, your way of thinking, your behavior, your attitude, all should be showing the person that you are representing. So this is such a big responsibility for us. And if Allah helps us, would be our great honor. If we fail, then we would be accountable for this failure, because then we have misrepresented. It's not that we don't represent, there would be misrepresentation. So may Allah inshallah help us. May Allah inshallah save all the brothers and sisters in any part of the world who are going to commemorate this year the event of Karbala. I hope that inshallah all the programs and sessions and majalis will be protected inshallah by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the best protector and who is the best to look after the people who have no one other than him to help them. What I decided to study these nights that we are together is to see what was the source of energy, inspiration for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. What Imam Hussein alayhi salam showed in his entire life, not only when he was leaving Medina to Mecca and then Mecca to Kufa, that was only part of his life. What Imam showed in entire life was a very strong connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without that, he was never able to remain persistent, to be always well-oriented, never giving up, never going to wrong direction, never saying even one single word that you would regret later why I said so. Never doing something bad that you say, why I did that. Imam alayhi salam had such a close relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you see what Imam showed in his life and martyrdom are not only for us but also for all the people who know Imam Hussein alayhi salam, whether they have the same faith as we or they have different faith, they cannot do except to express their surprise. Even you all know that one of the people who was present on the day of Ashura and was apparently in the opposite army, still he says that, by God, I have never seen a man as persistent as Hussein. When he receives more and more tragedies and pain, his face becomes more bright. His face becomes more enlightened with the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his heart is maintained and is not fallen into pieces. When a person from the opposite army says this, so this cannot be exaggeration or, you know, because of biasness. So therefore I decided to dedicate inshallah these majalis to learning the connection between Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way that we can benefit from this. I think we are in a historical context right now with all the things that are happening in the world, that this is very much also applicable to us. If we want to be inshallah successful as an individual, as families, as communities, if you want to do everything properly, if you want to be inshallah supported by Allah, we should aim at having the same connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to our capacity. The only source for hope, the only source for help, the only source for guidance and wisdom is Allah himself. So I think our community is in a historical moment to reflect more on our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah strengthen even more our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in understanding and in practice. So what I decided was to reflect together on some supplications, some prayers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, especially on some passages from Du'a-i Arafah. And you know, this Du'a-i Arafah by itself is a masterpiece in true Irfan. There are many people who talk about spirituality or talk about Irfan or mysticism or Gnosticism. But if you want true Irfan, you can find it here. A man who does not just preach or does not just teach in an academia. He is a man that in his entire life shows what he says. And his blood is a certificate of his honesty. So, inshallah, we will reflect on this dua. But as you know, this dua is in need of lots of hours and hours to give just a brief introduction. So what I decided is the last few pages of the dua. The last few pages are reported by the late Sayyid ibn Tawus. In some versions of Du'a-i Arafah of Imam, the last few pages, which are going inshallah to be discussed, are not mentioned. But Sayyid ibn Tawus, rahmatullah alayhi, who is a great Shia scholar, one of the highlights in the history of Shia, a person who was highly regarded by ulama throughout the ages, and this is a common understanding that he was somehow connected to Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. He mentions this part in his book Iqbal. And the late Sheikh Abbas Qumi also in Mafatihul Janan mentions this, and Allama Majlisi also in Biharul Anwar quotes this part from Iqbal by Sayyid ibn Tawus. Inshallah, if you also come every night prepared and reflect on few sentences of this dua, then we are talking, then would be much easier. And I hope that inshallah you would also share with me your thoughts and your ideas. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إلهي أنا الفقير في غناية فكيف لا أكون فقيرا في فقري. Imam alayhi salam, on the day of Arafah, in the plain of Arafah, towards the end of the day, which is the peak of the day, when he was with a group of people, then joined by many other people. And the narrator says that the other people who were there, who were not from the group of Imam, when they listened to Imam, they forgot their own du'as. They were just listening Imam and saying Ameen to Imam's du'a. They were not able to continue their own du'as. And Imam was saying this with a very special feeling. The tears were coming and everyone was affected by this strong connection of Imam. You know, sometimes you are feeling very close to Allah, but maybe the person next to you doesn't feel anything. But sometimes you are so connected and so inspired that other people are affected. So Imam was in such a condition that all people were affected. So Imam said, "O Allah, أنا الفقير في غناية. I am poor with respect to what I have, to my rich. So how I cannot be poor with respect to what I lack? When I look at what I have, I feel I am very needy. So what about those things that I don't have?" This is very important. Unfortunately, we have this habit, most of us, that whenever we are given something, we think that we own it. And this is my property, my possession. We never think that how this has come. I think this is mine. And it is, you know, very childish, but unfortunately we do it all the time. For example, if you are flying, you know, taking, for example, flight from one place to another place. So you are using a seat. But you shouldn't think that this is yours just because you are using this and they have given, I don't know, your boarding card with this seat number. You shouldn't think that this is yours. How childish is if you think that this is mine. You know that this is not yours. You temporarily use it. But when it comes to the things that we have them for a long time, we think that they are ours. So if I have children, I don't think that this is amana that I have temporarily. I think these are my children. I own them. Or if Allah has given me, for example, some money, I have house, I have car, if I have reputation, if people respect me, if I have energy, if I have some intelligence, if I have good memory, I think these are mine. I don't think that if these are mine, so why I didn't have these things always? Because if something is yours and it's a quality of you, you must have it all the time. When you didn't have it and now you have it, this philosophically shows these are not yours. Because when you didn't have it, then how could have gained it? When someone doesn't have something, how can he give it to himself? It's philosophically impossible. As you know, our scholars say, فَاغِدُ الشَّيْءِ, the one who lacks something cannot be مُعْتَ الشَّيْءِ, cannot give. If I don't have something, how can I give it to someone else or to myself? You can only give something that you have it. The fact that you didn't have it shows that this is not yours. Even when you have it, this must come from somewhere else. It cannot be yours. Because when you didn't have it, how you gave it to yourself? This is very clear. But unfortunately, we make such a mistake all the time. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَنْ رَآهُ السَّغْنَى. It's a general problem. There are exceptions, but they are exceptions. Unfortunately, the normal pattern is this. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. Man becomes inordinate, forgets his limits, as soon as he feels that he is rich. When he feels that he possesses, he forgets. He thinks that it is his property. Like Qarun. Qarun, who was very much helped by Allah. Allah blessed him with lots of money, but he changed this blessing into something negative, something destructive. He was given lots of jewelry, treasures, so much so that Allah says, أَعْتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ. We gave him so much of treasures that just to carry the keys, not to carry the treasure boxes or the rooms for storage, just carrying the keys were so difficult that several strong men would become exhausted to carry the keys. You know, hundreds perhaps of kilograms or thousands of kilograms, that مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ, just the keys, لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ, would make a group of strong men very tired and exhausted. Okay, Allah has given him this much. But did he become thankful? Did he become humble? Did he say that Allah has given me so much, so let me remember all the time that this is His blessing for me, I should be thankful, I should do something good? No. And therefore, he was not using this money in the way which is right. Either he was just putting money over money or spending for his own wishes. Therefore, some people gave him advice. They said, لَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Don't forget how much you can benefit in this world. A human being, how much he needs, and how much you actually can spend. There is a limit for your expenditure. If you have anything more, so you are just saving it for other people. لَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهِ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Try to seek through what Allah has given you, something which is good for your eternal life. You can use only part of your money and wealth in this world. Use the rest for the eternal life. That is the world that whatever you have would not be wasted. Indeed, whatever you have would not be even sufficient. When Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Ah, min ghillat al-zad," The provision is very little, so you can imagine, even if Qarun had spent all his money on charitable causes and on serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still he cannot say, I have enough provision for my akhirah. But now that he doesn't do that, the situation is terrible. So they told him, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهِ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. So what did he say? Did he say, thank you for your advice? Thank you for reminding me of something very important? No. Instead of thanking them, he gave them very bad answer. He said, you tell me to do something with what God has given me? God has not given me anything. إِنَّمَا أُوْتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ مِّنْ عَدِّي. Whatever I have is because of my own knowledge, my own intelligence, my own cleverness in business. God has not given me anything. I have achieved this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over few seconds, showed him that how he really lacks and is in need. And many people who used to look at Qarun and his wealth with surprise and with great perhaps desire to have such a wealth, when they saw how he is being destroyed, they said, why? كَأَنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُ. They realize that, oh, money is not going to save. Money is not going to guarantee your happiness. There are great lessons in this story. We shouldn't think that this is only for Qarun. If it was only for Qarun, there was no need to mention this in the Quran. Because it's a common problem of man. Especially when Allah says in Surah Alaq, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَبْقَىٰ. So this is an example for a general problem. This is an example that is very clear, very expressive, but for a problem that may be hidden and you don't notice, but you may have it yourself. Unfortunately, we have also this problem that when people tell us something like Qarun, instead of appreciating, we say, you are wrong. Don't give me any advice. I know better myself. So, when we have something in our hand, I shouldn't think that this is mine. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, إِلَهِ أَنَا الْفَقِيرُ فِي غِنَايَ. When I have something, I am in need. I am dependent on you. What about those things that I don't have? So how can I be proud of myself? How can I become arrogant when I see that there are two categories? One is what I have, one is what I don't have. When I look at my needs and those things that I don't have, I am humbled. But even when I look at those things that I have, I am humbled. Because Hussein doesn't forget that whatever he has come from God. So whether he is healthy or ill, he knows that he is in need of Allah. If he is healthy, he is in need of Allah, because this health has come from Allah. And if he is ill and lacks health, again he is in need of Allah. Because Allah can give him health. So he doesn't lose the orientation. If there is a time that people show appreciation and love and send him thousands of signatures, or if there is a time that he is left alone with a little group of people, in both cases, he knows that he needs Allah. Neither the attention of people make him forget his need for Allah, nor when he is abandoned and forsaken by people, he forgets Allah. When I am a young person, full of energy, very active, I know that this is from Allah. And if I have become old and I cannot move, I remember Allah. So nothing would make such person lose his orientation. This is very important. Ilahi, ana al-faqir fi ghinai, fakayfa la akunu faqiran fi faqri. If I have taken a loan from someone, for example, from a bank or from a relative, a friend, I have taken £10,000. So this £10,000 is now with me or in my account. Should I feel that I have become very rich? No. This £10,000 is in your hand or your account, but you have to pay this back. Now, if someone else has taken £20,000 as a loan, his need is more. His dependence has become more. Sometimes to make you dependent, they tell you, whatever you want, we give you. You shouldn't feel that they are making you rich. They are making you dependent. Because the more you have, the more dependent you become. So some people who are not very clever, they think as soon as they have money or they have, you know, some credit, they think they are rich. They start buying everything. They start, you know, being extravagant in their consumption. But then a day comes that they realize that that was not really a richness. That was just a way to add to their problems. So if up to yesterday they didn't have any money, now they have thousands of pounds of debt. So the poverty has increased. So whenever you have something, and I'm saying this is about everything, you must know that this is not really yours. You didn't have it. You've been given by someone who had it. And this is a trust. Either you use it properly, and therefore you would be able to gain something through this, or if you don't use it properly, it would become a burden for you. It would make you more in debt, make you more responsible. You wish you were never given such things. Sometimes God gives us friends. But if these friends are not friends for the sake of Allah, on the day of judgment they say, Ya laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. I wish I never knew such a person. Sometimes Allah gives you children. If your children are not good Muslims, then you say, I wish I didn't have such a child. Like what Muawiyah wrote to Yazid, that Laytaka lam takun. He wrote, when you were very young, you used to keep us always happy. But now when I hear about what you did, this is when Yazid was not Khalifa at the time of Muawiyah, but Yazid as a young person was a very corrupt. So he said, when you were very young, you used to keep us happy. But now you always make us sad when we receive the report about what you do. And I wish you were not there. And what is ironic is that such a person with such an understanding, because he doesn't fear Allah, he doesn't think about Akhirah, he makes such a person his successor. It's unbelievable. It's not that he thought that he is a very qualified person, very good person to serve. This is the problem. Sometimes we know that there are people who are not qualified, but because he's my friend, I support him. Or a person is qualified, but he's not my friend, I try to weaken him. This is why. Everything must be for the sake of Allah. So, when a person has something, must be thankful to Allah, must be very sure that this is from Allah and is given to him temporarily. And if he doesn't have, for sure he must know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, and he can always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him if that is what suits him. So this concept of poverty becomes a very important concept in Islamic spirituality. And this poverty is different from poverty in the sense of financial poverty. I have a paper about the spiritual poverty which is published in one of the volumes of Shia Mennonite Dialogues. And I have mentioned four meanings for poverty. Two of these meanings are not acceptable, but two of them are possible to happen, and we have to be very careful. For example, if someone is poor in the sense that he cannot generate money, either because he is not working hard, he hasn't learned skills, or because the society is such an unjust society that gives no opportunity to people to prosper. In both cases, financial, economical poverty is something which is disliked in Islam. We don't want this. We want every person to be able to look after his or her expenditure and have a nice life with honor and dignity. So this poverty in this sense is not good. But sometimes poverty is voluntary. You make lots of money, but you live like poor people. Very simple. Of course, the level of simplicity varies in different ages. In the time of Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, to live such a simple life like the poorest of people meant not to possess many things. Even maybe you didn't have two pieces of dress. Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam sometimes was going and sitting on minbar and giving khutbah, and he was doing like this, moving his dress. Because Ali had only one piece of dress, and when it was washed and was wet, he had to put on. So he had to make this so that it dried. This is not negative poverty, because Ali was making lots of money. In those 25 years after the demise of the Prophet and before he became Caliph, he made lots of gardens. Sometimes for himself he worked, sometimes he was hired by other people. And he was always, as soon as the job was finished, using the money or the wealth that he has provided for the sake of Allah. For example, if he made some garden, he was making waqf. So he didn't keep anything for himself. But he was not a person who was not able to make money. He decided, he chose to have very simple life. Especially when he became Khalifatul Muslimin, he very clearly says in Nahjul Balagha that I cannot be happy when there is a poor person in remote areas of my territory who doesn't have hope of having one meal. How can I then spend something on myself from my own rights, from my own possession, from my own halal income? I cannot use that. That was a very difficult time. There are times that to be simple doesn't mean to be in that level. You can have, for example, few pieces of dress. You can have, you know, one house, one car. But still the life should not become luxurious. It should be simple. This is good poverty. It's not bad poverty. I make lots of money, or I can make lots of money, but I say no. I prefer to have simple life. There was a person in Tehran several decades ago, he died. And he was a very rich man. He used to sell carpets in the market in bazaar. And he was very also generous and supportive of Islamic projects, like one Islamic school in particular, which was built for the first time in Tehran. So when people visited him in his shop, he found he has always very simple lunch. For example, a piece of bread and yogurt. They ask him, you spend so much money on helping good projects. So you are not a person who is bakhil or miserly, because bakhil people cannot spend anything. You are a person who is generous. But why, when it comes to yourself, you don't spend money? He said, halal income. This is very important. Halal income is such a valuable thing that I don't like to spend it on myself. Because when I spend it on myself, I lose it. When I give it for the sake of Allah, I save it. So I don't want to lose it by spending on myself. So I prefer to have a piece of bread and yogurt, save some money, give it for the sake of Allah. This man is the man who has not forgotten Allah when he has achieved lots of money. He has chosen to have simple life. This is good. So, if you are forced to be poor, you have no opportunities for working and earning money, or you are lazy, na'uzu billah, you don't learn how to do business, this is not good. But if you are capable, successful, and decide not to spend that much on yourself, that is good. So this is the second meaning of poverty. The third meaning of poverty is the poverty on the day of judgment. For example, there is a hadith which says, "Atadruna mal muflis." Muflis means bankrupt. Do you know who is bankrupt? If someone asks us who is bankrupt, we would say someone who is not able to maintain his business, and for example, the debt is so high that has to cancel everything and declare bankruptcy. But the hadith says no. The real bankrupt is the one that on the day of judgment, he is resurrected while he has wronged other people. And when you have wronged someone, then you have to please him. He doesn't have any good action to give to those people to please them. So the bad actions of those people will be put into his file, into his record. So imagine you are a person who has nothing good, and still you will be given the bad actions of someone else. Because, for example, you have broken his heart, you have backbited that person, you have done something wrong, and you have to satisfy. You cannot run away. This is bankruptcy. I have been given my record of a'mal, and I see nothing good there. And then, on top of that, lots of burden coming from other people that I have wronged. So this is another meaning of poverty. This is the third meaning of poverty, which is very worrying. May Allah save all of us from this. That is a time that we cannot find any solution. There is no recovery. There is no one to help. It's only possible to avoid that. If that happens, there is no solution. We should just try to prevent. That is something that frightens all believers. All the mu'mineen must be frightened of that time. And the fourth meaning of poverty is spiritual poverty. It means that you understand that you are fully dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you have or you don't have, whether you are healthy or you are ill, you are well known or abandoned, you are alone or you have hundreds of people with you. If you have that spiritual poverty, you feel that you are dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And even when you have more, you become more humble. A person who has this quality of poverty, when his knowledge increases, his humbleness also increases. If his money increases, his humbleness increases. If he has lots of children and cousins and friends, he becomes more humble. If everyone praises him, he becomes more humble, because he has achieved that alchemy, that kimya, which is poverty. So this is why, inshallah, we will reach this point that Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, he says after few lines, ha ana atawassalu ilayka bifaqri. I make this poverty my wasila. I do tawassul with this poverty. It means that this is a means, this is an instrument, a wasila that you can use to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and achieve whatever you want. Inshallah, we will continue with the rest of this munajat and dua, inshallah, in coming nights. As I said, and some of the brothers and sisters have joined us in the middle of the discussion, so we, inshallah, are going to find out the way Imam Hussein alayhi salam got his energy and power and orientation from relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to understand that, we are going to use his words, especially his prayer in which he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to anyone else, to understand what type of understanding he had, what type of relation, connection he had to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that inshallah we can also achieve something similar. We can never achieve like him, but at least we can be in that, inshallah, line. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be always in strong connection to him and the people who are close to him, inshallah. I just read a small passage about the beginning of the month of Muharram, and inshallah we will have opportunity to listen to Mawlana. This is the beginning of Muharram, and Muharram has come now to us as a guest, and as we normally do, we say salam to our guest. سلام من به محرم به قصه و غم مهدی. I am offering my salam, my greetings to the month of Muharram, which is the month of grief and sorrow for our Imam Al-Hujjah. به چشم کاسه خون و به شال ماتم مهدی. With the tears which are filling the eyes of Mahdi when he thinks about the tragedy of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and with the dress of mourning for Imam Hussein that Imam Mahdi has on himself. Salam man be Muharram, Muharram gul Zahra, be latmahay malaik, be matam gul Zahra. I say, send my salam to this month of Muharram, the month in which we mourn for the flower, for the child of Lady Zahra, the month in which even the angels are mourning and they show their sympathy to the Lady Fatima to Zahra. Salam man be Muharram به کربلا و جلالش، به لحظه های پر از حزن و غرق درد و ملالش. I say my salam to Muharram, to the Karbala and all the glory and beauty which was there in Karbala on the side of Ahlul Bayt, and with all those moments of sadness and pain in that day of Ashura. Salam man be Muharram be hal khaste Zainab, be bi nihayat dagh dil shikaste Zainab. We cannot remember Muharram without remembering Lady Zainab salamullah alayha. He says, I send my salam to the lady who is very tired, whose heart is broken, and there is unlimited pain in her heart. Salam man be Muharram be dast o mashq Abul Fazl, be naumidi saqa be sooz ashq Abul Fazl. I say my salam to Muharram and to the hand of Abul Fazl al-Abbas, to the arm of Abul Fazl al-Abbas, and to the container of water that he was carrying, especially the time that he lost his hope for taking water to the children. Salam man be Muharram be qad o qamat akbar, به کام خشک از آن گوی زیر نیزه و خنجر. I say my salam to the beautiful Ali Akbar, especially when his mouth was dry, his throat was dry under the swords and the spears of enemies. Salam man be Muharram به گاهواره اصغر، به عشق خجلت شاه و گلوی پاره اصغر. I say my salam to Muharram and to the cradle of Ali Asghar, to the tear of Hussein when he saw that his son is being killed and he was not able to give him any water. سلام من به محرم و به اضطراب سکینه، به آن ملیک که رویش ندید چشم مدینه. I say my salam to Lady Sukaina, to that princess who was not able to go back to Medina. سلام من به محرم به عاشقی زهیرش،
به بازگشتن حر و عروج ختم به خیرش عیسی علیه السلام تو محرم and to a lover of Allah, Zuhair, who managed to join Imam alayhi salam, and to Hur, who had beautiful end for his life by his repentance. Salam man be Muharram, be Muslimo, be Habibash, be Ruy Sepidi, Jono, be Buy Atra Ajibash. I say my salam to Muharram and Muslim ibn Aqil, to Habib ibn Muzahir, and to Joan, whose face was enlightened and he had very beautiful fragrance coming from his body after he was martyred. Salam man be Muharram be Shur Hal Ayanash. سلام من به حسین و به عشق زیر زنانش I say my salam to Muharram and I say my salam to Imam Hussein and I say my salam to the tears of those who mourn for Hussein May Allah enable us to be with Imam Hussein in dunya and akhirah May Allah enable us to benefit from the intercession of Imam Hussein alayhi salam May Allah keep ourselves and our children always on the right path. May Allah save and protect our community from anything which is bad in this life. May Allah make our Imam Zaman happy with us. May Allah enable us to serve our Imam Zaman. May Allah answer to the du'as of Imam for his Shia. May Allah give shifa and healing to the people who are ill. May Allah forgive all the marhumin, especially marhumin of the brothers and sisters who are here. May Allah, inshallah, give His unlimited mercy to the people who have passed away, especially those who have rights upon us, our parents, for parents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraja. May Allah let them be with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen.
السلام عليكم 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 السلام عليكم